Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 10, Chapter 2, Prayers for the Demigods, Text 32. Yanye Ravindaksha Vimuktamaninas Tvadiyastabhava Abhishuddha Buddhaya Aruya Krishena Paramparam Tada Patandyado Nadrita Yushmarangraya. Yen ye anye, anyone or all others, Aravindaksha, O lotus-eyed one, Vimuktamanina, falsely considering themselves free from the bondage of material contamination. Twai, unto you, astabhavat, speculating in various ways, but not knowing or desiring more information of your lotus feet. Abhishuddha Buddhaya, whose intelligence is still not purified, and who do not know the goal of life. Aruya, even though achieving, Krichchena, by undergoing severe austerities, penances, and hard labor. Paramparam, the highest position, according to their imagination and speculation. Tata, from that position. Patanti, they fall. Adaha, down into material existence again. Anadrita, neglecting devotion to. Yushmat, your Angrayaha, lotus feet. Translation of purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Someone may say that aside from devotees who always seek shelter at the Lord's lotus feet, there are those who are not devotees, but who have accepted different processes for obtaining salvation. What happens to them? In answer to this question, Lord Brahma and the other demigods said, O lotus-eyed Lord, although non-devotees who accept severe austerities, penances to achieve the highest position, they think themselves liberated, their intelligence is impure. They fall down from their position of imagined superiority because they have no regard for your lotus feet. Purport, aside from devotees, there are many others, non-devotees, known as karmis, gyanis, or yogis. Philanthropists, altruists, politicians, impersonalists, and voidists. There are many varieties of non-devotees who have their respective ways of liberation. But simply because they do not know the shelter of the Lord's lotus feet, although they falsely think that they have been liberated and elevated to the highest position, they fall down. As clearly stated by the Lord Himself in Bhagavad Gita 9.3, Ashvadadana Purusha Dharmas Yasya Parantapa Aprapyamam Nivartante Mriti Samsara Vartmani. Those who are not faithful on the path of devotional service cannot attain me. I'll conquer of foes, but return to birth and death in this material world. It does not matter whether one is a karmi, gyani, yogi, philanthropist, politician, or whatsoever, or whatever. If one has no love for the lotus feet of the Lord, one falls down. That is the verdict given by Lord Brahma in this verse. There are persons who advocate accepting any process, and who say that whatever process one accepts will lead one to the same goal. But that is refuted in this verse, where such persons are referred to as vimukta manina, signifying that although they think they have attained the highest perfection, in fact, they have not. In the present day, big politicians all over the world think that by scheming they can occupy the highest political post, that of president or prime minister. But we actually see that even in this life, such big prime ministers, presidents, and other politicians, because of being non-devotees, fall down, patanyadaha, to become president or prime minister is not easy. One must work very hard, aruya krishchena, to achieve the post. And even though one may reach his goal, at any moment one may be kicked down by material nature. In human society, there have been many instances in which great, exalted politicians have fallen down from government and become lost in historical oblivion. The cause of this is avishuddha buddhaya. Their intelligence is impure. The Shastras say, ete vidu swata kitim hi vishnu. One achieves the perfection of life by becoming a devotee of Vishnu. But people do not know this. Therefore, as stated in the Bhagavad Gita, 12.3, klesho dikatarastesham avyaktasaktachetasam. Persons who do not ultimately accept the Supreme Personality of Godhead and take to devotional service, but who instead are attached to impersonalism and voidism, must undergo great labor to achieve their goals. Shreyak Shritim Bhaktim Udasya Te Vibho Klishanti Ye Kevala Bodha Labdhaye. To achieve understanding, such persons work very hard and undergo severe austerities, for their hard labor and austerities themselves are their only achievement, for they do not actually achieve the real goal of life. Dhruva Maharaj at first wanted to achieve the greatest material kingdom and greater material possessions than his father. But when he was actually favored by the Lord, who appeared before him to give him the benedictions he desired, Dhruva Maharaj refused it, saying, Swamin kritarto smi varam na yache. Now I am fully satisfied. I do not want any material benediction. Ahari Bhakti Sudadai 728. This is the perfection of life. Yam labvam chaparam labvam manyate nadikam tata. If one achieves the shelter of the Lord's lotus feet, one is fully satisfied and does not need to ask for any material benediction. At night one can see a lotus, for lotuses bloom. At night no one can see a lotus, for lotuses blossom only during the daytime. Therefore the word Aravindaksha is significant. One who is not captivated by the lotus eyes or transcendental form of the Supreme Lord is in darkness, exactly like one who cannot see a lotus. One who has not come to the point of seeing the lotus eyes and transcendental form of Shyamasunda is a failure. Premanjana charita bhakti valok chanena santak sadaiva rideyeshu valok kayanti. Those who are attached to the Supreme Personality of Godhead in love always see the Lord's lotus eyes and lotus feet. Whereas others cannot see the Lord's beauty and are therefore classified as anadrita yushmar angrayaha, or neglectful of the Lord's personal form. Those who neglect the Lord's form are surely failures on every path in life. But if one develops even a little love for the Supreme Personality of Godhead, one is liberated without difficulty. Svapam apyasya dharmasya trayate mahato bhayat. Therefore, the Supreme Personality of Godhead recommends in Bhagavad Gita 9:34, Manmana bhava madbhakto madhyaji mam namaskuru. Simply think of me, become my devotee, worship me, and offer some slight homage to me. Simply by this process, one is guaranteed to return home back to Godhead, and thus attain the highest perfection. The Lord further affirms in the Bhagavad Gita, 18:54-55, Brahma Bhuta Prasanatma Nishoshiti Nakangshiti Samak Sarveshu Bhuteshu Madbhaktim Lavate Param Bhaktimama Vijanati Yavanyaschasmi Tatvitaha Titomam Tatvito Gyatva Vishite Tat Anantaram. One who is thus transcendently situated at once realizes the Supreme Brahman and becomes fully joyful. He never laments nor desires to have anything. He is equally disposed to every living entity. In that state, he attains pure devotional service unto me. One can understand the Supreme Personality as he is only by devotional service, and when one is in full consciousness of the Supreme Lord, by such devotion, he can enter into the kingdom of God. So the text again. Yanye avrandaksha vimuktamaninas Tvayastad bhavad avishuddha buddhaya arurakrichchena param padham tata patanyana nadrita yushmarangraya. Someone may say that aside from the devotee, from devotees who always seek shelter of the Lord's lotus feet, there are those who are not devotees, but who have accepted different processes for attaining salvation. What happens to them? In answer to this question, Lord Brahman, the other demigod, said, O lotus-eyed Lord, although non-devotees who have accepted severe austerities and penances to achieve the highest position may think themselves liberated, their intelligence is impure. They fall down from the position of imagined superiority because they have no regard for your lotus feet. Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutaye Srimate Bhaktivedanta Swami Tanamane Namaste Sarasvatam Deve Gauravani Pracharane Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paskyadhyade Satarane. At least according to the Srimad Bhagavatam, that unless one can actually see Krishna within his heart, and not only Krishna, but Krishna and his associates along with his pastimes, unless one is actually back into the spiritual world in Krishna consciousness, then one cannot be considered to be successful. There's a path to success, but one should understand that one is not actually successful until one becomes fully conscious of Krishna again. Now, how many people in this universe actually think like that? I don't know. Not very many. But that's what we're trying to become convinced of. And although this verse, Yanyeya Vandaksha Vimukta Maninas, is generally applied to the impersonalist, but then again, practically everyone in this universe is an impersonalist. As Krishna says, Avijananti Mamuda Manushim Tanam Ashrityam Parambhavam Ajananto Mamabhuta Maheshwaram. That the fools, they deride my descending in this human form. They do not know my transcendental nature and my supreme dominion over all to be. In other words, Krishna coming as a cowherd boy is a great mystery, not only to the fallen conditioned souls on this planet, but even Lord Brahma was bewildered. Brahma, who has enough intelligence to create a universe, when he heard after Krishna had killed the Agasura demon, that, Brahma heard the demigods praising this little boy. So he thought, why are they praising a little cowherd boy? So he came down to see, who is this little cowherd boy that the demigods are praising? Maybe they took too much samarasa or something. Let's find out what it is. So he saw a little boy, and he decided, well, the only way I can test him is I'll steal all his calves and cows and see what he does. So Brahma stole all his cows and calves and put them into a cave, asleep, left, and then he realized, well, maybe I better check and see what happened. So he came back in less than a moment of his life. He kind of went, and then went back. That was how far he was, how long he was gone. But for him, it was one moment. But Brahma lives for 311 trillion, 40 billion years. So 1 second in Brahma's life is approximately 96,000 of our years. Which means if we live for 100 years, then we go through, well, approximately 1,000 births and deaths. Which for us, we're thinking we're in this lifetime for a long, long time. We have nothing to worry about. We have plenty of time. But Brahma simply left and came back in a moment. That was a year. And then he saw that all the calves and cowboys were still there. So he was shocked. How is this possible? I know I've hid them in a cave. So he looked in the cave and they're still there. And then he looked and saw all the cowboys and calves who were still playing with Krishna. So then he came down and surrendered because this is not an ordinary person. And then he realized that this is actually his master, Krishna. And he surrendered, although he had committed great offense. Indra had also become bewildered and tried to not only steal the cowboys and calves, he tried to kill all the residents of Vrindavan. Could you imagine going into Vrindavan with a machine gun and trying to kill all the residents of Vrindavan and saying, what are you doing? Why are you killing all these residents of Vrindavan? Well, they didn't perform any sacrifice for me this year. So I decided to get some revenge. So that's what Indra did. Luckily, Krishna was there and protected them. So what to speak of our poor little selves? How much do we actually accept, understand, or accept who Krishna actually is? Actually, it's not possible for us to actually understand who Krishna is. Because Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, Naham prakasha sarvasha yogamaya samavrita mudo yam navijananti loko yam ajam avyam. That I'm never manifested to the foolish and unintelligent. To them I'm covered by my creative potency, yoga maya, and so the deluded world knows me not. I'm unborn and inexhaustible. So who are the fools? Well, we're also one of the fools. Because we identify ourselves with this body to some extent or another, although we're trying to identify ourselves with Krishna. Therefore, at the time of initiation, we get the name of Krishna Das or Krishna Dasi. So we're supposed to try to consider that's who we are. But how much during the day do we actually consider that I'm actually Krishna Das or Dasi, or do we think ourselves to be something else? But only in that mood of entering into that mood of Krishna Das or Krishna Dasi can we actually act properly so that gradually we can make progress. That if we think, oh, Krishna is just, you know, he's a nice person. Maybe he's a nice person. Maybe he's God. Maybe he's not God. Whatever. Cowherd boy, a little hard to understand. But anyhow, I'm an official card-carrying member of the Hare Krishna movement. Therefore, I accept, at least theoretically, that Krishna is God. But I don't really have much experience of a cowherd boy controlling the universes. In any case, at least if we accept theoretically that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, then we can make some progress. As much as we do that, as much as remember that, and perform our activities in that mood of being Krishna's service, then Krishna will reciprocate with us. Maybe not immediately, But he notes it down, and then at the proper time, he gives us more enlightenment, some more encouragement to go on with that process of identifying ourselves as Gopi Bharata Padakamalayor, Dasa Dasa Anudasa, the servant of the servant of the servant of Krishna. Then Mogaisha Moga Karmano Moga Gyana Vicheta Saha Rakshasim Asrim Chaiva Prakriti Moinim Shitaha. Those who are such deluded persons, Mogaisha Moga Karmano, their fruit of activities, their hopes of liberation, and their cultivation of knowledge are all defeated. So that's what this is talking about in this verse. We may think that this implies to the impersonalist, as Brahmananda Prabhu said, Prabhupada would always be lecturing against the impersonalist in his classes early on in 22nd Avenue. Always criticizing the impersonalist and explaining how foolish they were. So Brahmananda Prabhu thought maybe Prabhupada had some quarrel with the impersonalist in India, a class of people called impersonalists. And he was so absorbed in that quarrel, he couldn't get it off his mind. So therefore, even in New York City, where India was far away, he couldn't stop talking about them. And then one day, Brahmananda Prabhu realized that actually, the impersonalists that Prabhupada was talking about were his audience. People that were right before him. Because ultimately, if we accept Krishna as the Supreme Personality of Godhead by the gradual process, because it's a process. We can't just peel off the coverings we have. We have to qualify ourselves, and then Krishna, when he sees our sincerity, then he reciprocates, and gradually he removes the coverings, and we develop more faith and conviction and experience in Krishna consciousness. But until we come to that point, then Anarita Yushmat Angreyaha Vishuddha Buddhaya, then our intelligence is still impure. So we have to recognize that. We can't be embarrassed. Otherwise, we should be humble and realize that right now, my intelligence is not perfect. It's impure. Why? Because Yanyaya Rendaksha Vimukta Maninas. I haven't seen the lotus eyed Supreme Personality of Godhead yet. And therefore, that means that my intelligence has been covered by illusion. Avishuddha Buddhaya. And Arurukrit Shana Parampadam Tada. And therefore, at the end of this lifetime, I have to come back again. That's considered to be, well, we're already fallen. So you can't, when you're already fallen, it's hard to say you fell. If you're all on the ground and Maya is kicking you, and someone comes by and says, you better, if you do anything against me, you're going to fall down. But you're already fallen. Now's the time to get up. So, padan idan, now we may think we've reached some kind of perfection, some kind of status in society, some kind of bank balance or some kind of recognition or some kind of seniority or something. But it doesn't really matter. All these things are external. Only when we become conscious of Krishna do we actually become safe. Do we actually find safety. Otherwise, patan ina anadrita yushmarangraya, still everything else is unsteady. If we understand that, then there is some hope of making genuine progress. As much as we understand that, as Prabhupada said, one of the problems of the devotees in the Hare Krishna movement is that we're not afraid of Maya. We think Maya can't touch me. I have a dhoti on or a sari. I've changed my name. I changed my address. Therefore, Maya doesn't come to the Hare Krishna temple. Only on Janmasthami. She blooped. No, Maya is everywhere. And as soon as we forget Krishna, then padan ina nadrita yushmarangriya, then we're back in our illusory consciousness. And it is not that we're back in our illusory consciousness. We're always in illusory consciousness. But we can make some progress out of it if we follow the process. If we act as a liberated soul and try to love Krishna in our service, try to make friends with the devotees, have a nice relationship with all the devotees, at least think favorably towards all the devotees, appreciate that they're all Krishna's servants, try to help the innocent because we know that potentially they can make progress towards becoming Krishna conscious, and just avoid the people who are completely against Krishna because we cannot help them and they can only hurt us. That way we can make progress and one day we'll be able to see the lotus-eyed Krishna. So I'll stop there. Thank you. Any questions or comments? Mahatmanas tumam parada daivim prakritim ashritya bhajanyananya manaso gyatpa bhutidem avyam. Those who are Mahatmas, who are the great souls, are always under the protection of the divine energy. They are fully engaged in devotional service because they know me as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, original and inexhaustible. So there's no choice, really. There's a choice. We can be an illusion or we can make progress out of illusion towards Krishna. And what's the process? Sadatam kirtiyantomam yatantas chadrita vartaha namasyantas shumam bhakta nitukta upasate. Always engaged in chanting my glories, endeavoring with great determination, bowing down before me, these great souls perpetually worship me with devotion. So what was in the verse in the Shikshastika, which verse does this refer to? Anyone ever hear the Shikshastika prayers? No one here has ever heard the Shikshastika prayers. Have you ever heard the Shikshastika prayers, Nitya Siddha, Seva? Good. So what verse is it that it corresponds exactly to this verse? Take a guess. You have 8 possible verses. And we'd like to give a number. What number would you like to give, Timur? 8, okay. Do I hear another 8 or anyone else would like? What's that? Third, yes, bingo, third. Yeah, how does it correspond? So you have Trinada Pisu Nichena. So in this verse, Sadatam Kirtayantamam, chanting my glories, endeavoring with great determination, bowing down before me, these great souls perpetually worship me with devotion. So which part of that? Is it always chanting Krishna's glory? Is it with great determination or is it bowing down before Krishna? The first part. Humility. What's that? Well, which one of the verse? Bowing down, yes. Anyone here? Well, we all bow down. That's why we're bowing down. To practice Trinada Pisu Nichena. To become humble. It's not a yoga exercise so we can stretch out. Ooh, I feel a little tight. Let me stretch out a little bit. Ha! Nama Om something. Ram, 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 ram. Oh, I feel good. No, it's a meditation. Even the mantras we chant is supposed to help us become humble, humble, like a grass in the street, straw in the street. What about the first part? Always glorify me, which is that. Offer all respects to others and not desire any respect for oneself. Yeah, then one can chant the holy name always. And because unless we become humble, and what's the last one? With great determination. What does that require? Tolerance, yes, tolerance. Because if we're not tolerant, then we'll forget Krishna. Then we can chant Hare Krishna all the time and get out of Maya. At least a little bit out of Maya. Otherwise, we don't make any progress. If we're not humble, we're not determined, we're not appreciative of Krishna and his devotees, then where is the question of devotional service? Where is the devotion? Can someone tell me how you can be devotional and not be humble and tolerant and appreciative? Is it possible? No, we have one no. Okay, we'll leave it at one no. All right, thank you very much. Grandharaj Shrimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai.